Returning to Canaan, Chapter 19, Genesis 31, 32, and 33. Is everything ready? Forward then. The procession begins to move. The herdsmen drive the cows and sheep before them. They are taking care that they do not go astray. The sound of shouting and yelling is heard. Among the cows and sheep are several camels and donkeys. Women and children sit upon the camels, and the donkeys are laden with all kinds of things, such as rolled-up tents, pots and pans, benches and boxes. They travel slowly but surely. The bleating of the sheep and the lowing of the cows mingle with the shouting of the herdsmen. Added to all this noise is the sound of children's voices. What does it all mean? Who owns all these flocks, the herdsmen and maidservants, the children and the women? They all belong to Jacob. He had worked for Laban, his uncle, for 20 years, and now he is returning to Canaan, the land from which he had fled 20 years ago, when Esau, his brother, wanted to kill him. Jacob's lot is so different now from when he first came to Laban. Then he had nothing but a staff. Now he is a rich man. These hundreds, yes, thousands of cows, sheep, camels, and donkeys belong to him. The women are his wives, and the children are his children. 20 years ago, he had lain sleeping upon the hard ground as a poor fugitive with a stone under his head for a pillow. That had been at Bethel, where he had dreamed that beautiful dream. There God had promised Jacob that he would go with him, that he would bless him. Now look how God had blessed Jacob and made him rich. The Lord kept his word as he always does. Unlike the devil and the world who deceives us, who promises a lot but gives nothing, the Lord, who also promises, always gives more than he promises. Which one of the two do you serve, God or the devil? By nature, we all serve the devil. We must receive a new heart if we would serve the Lord in truth. Must we be quiet and just wait to receive a new heart? No, we must ask daily for it. Jacob goes away. But where is Laban? We don't see him anywhere. Mustn't Laban say goodbye to Jacob and his two daughters, Leah and Rachel, with their children? Laban doesn't even know that Jacob is going. That isn't nice of Jacob to go away secretly, do you think so? It seems that it isn't nice, but it is not so because Laban is angry. Angry? Why? Hadn't Jacob done his very best? Yes, that he did. But still, Laban is angry. Angry because the Lord had blessed Jacob, because Jacob had become so rich. Laban, who wanted to keep everything for himself, begrudged Jacob his prosperity. He walked about with plans to take everything away from Jacob. But the Lord came to Jacob at night in a dream and told him that he must return to Canaan. At this time, Laban is not at home, but he is with his sheep, which are being shorn and clipped. Their long fleece, well known as wool, is being cut off to be used in making blankets and clothing. Jacob used this time to go away secretly. If he had asked Laban, he would have received this answer: "You may not go. You must remain here." Jacob called his wives and told them what the Lord had said to him. Leah and Rachel agreed with Jacob's plans, and therefore we see him going on this journey. Yet Laban heard about it, and he became angry, so angry that he said, I will go to bring him back, and if he will not return, I will take everything away from him. Then he may go alone, but all his sheep and cows will be mine. He called his brethren and his relatives and told them about his plans. They then pursued Jacob. Laban could travel much faster than Jacob because Jacob had so much cattle with him while Laban had none. They gradually came closer to each other. Only one more night's sleep, and then Laban would take everything from Jacob. But during the night, the Lord came to Laban and said, Laban, be careful. Do not harm Jacob, for I forbid it. So the following day, when Laban overtook his nephew, he dared not do him harm. But he is not very friendly towards Jacob. Just listen. Why did you go away secretly? I was not even able to say goodbye to you. That isn't very nice of you, Jacob. Besides, you are a thief, because you stole my images, he said to his nephew. People honored these little images as gods, and they were supposed to protect Laban from accidents. Isn't that foolish? Yes, but it is still being done nowadays. Sometimes these little images, trinkets, or charms are placed in automobiles and airplanes to supposedly keep the riders from getting into accidents. Some people even wear these trinkets or charms around their necks or in their pockets. Whether it is done religiously, as though a saint could protect them, or whether it is done superstitiously, still it is dishonoring to God. Children, never do such a thing. Jacob became angry. That is not true, he said defensively. I did not take your images. You can look all over for them. This took place, for Laban hunted all over, but he found nothing. And yet the images were with Jacob. What? Did Jacob steal those images? No, not Jacob, but Rachel stole them. She took them and hid them so well that her father could not find them. But Jacob did not know that. Thus Laban found nothing. Jacob was indignant. Now tell me, what did you find that belongs to you? He asked his uncle. Laban is silent. Jacob continued, I served you faithfully for 20 years, and you have deceived me many times. First with my wife, you gave me Leah instead of Rachel. After that, you changed my wages 10 times. And if the Lord had not admonished you this night, you would have taken everything away from me. What Jacob said was the truth. Laban could not deny it. So he quickly began to talk about something else. And afterwards, they made a covenant with one another. Laban promised that he would not harm Jacob. After that, Jacob served a meal, and they ate and drank together. Laban arose after this meal, took leave of his daughters, and returned. He must of necessity return, because God protected Jacob. Jacob journeyed calmly forward. Slowly he approached the land of Canaan, but there were yet more difficulties coming. Therefore the Lord wanted to encourage Jacob. God opened his eyes so that he saw a great host of angels. The Lord meant to say by this that Jacob must not take things into his own hands, but that God had sent his angels to protect him. Yet Jacob is not altogether at ease. He is afraid. Afraid of what? Well, children, Jacob thought about his brother Esau. Is Esau still angry with him? Does Esau still want to kill him? Oh, he does not know. He called one of his servants and sent him to Esau with this message: I am returning. Will you forgive me? A few days later, the servant returned. Tell me, what did my brother answer? Jacob asked. The servant answered, Esau said nothing, but he is coming to meet you with 400 men. Oh, Jacob is so afraid. Was Esau coming to kill him? He did not know. So he went to his flocks and divided them into two groups. If Esau should slay the one group, then the other would probably escape. Beside this, he took 220 goats, 220 sheep, camels, cows, and donkeys, and he sent these animals, 580 in number, to Esau as a present. Jacob surely was rich, wasn't he? There are not many farmers, if any, in our country who have so much cattle. Jacob was still afraid. Esau was so strong, and he has 400 men with him. Jacob, in his fear, bent his knees and prayed, O Lord, help me, help me. Thou hast said to me that I must return. O Lord, make it so that Esau will not slay me and take everything away from me. That night they came to a rivulet by the name of Jabbok. All of Jacob's possessions passed over this brook before it was dark. His wives and children also went over. He himself remained on this side. Jacob was still afraid, even though he had done everything which he could do. He had divided his flocks into two groups. Besides, he had sent Esau a large present so that he could win the favor of his brother. But, and Jacob was well aware of this, all should be of no avail if God would not help him. Up to this moment, he had received no answer from the Lord. Therefore, Jacob remained alone on the other side of the brook Jabbok. Jacob cannot, Jacob dare not go further without the blessing of God. He remained behind to pray. Oh, he did not deserve to be helped by the Lord. It would be righteous if Esau would take everything away from him and slay him. Behold, he kneels and asks, yes, begs God to help him. Suddenly, a stranger approached who wanted to chase him away. But Jacob would not be sent away. A terrible struggle began. The entire night they wrestled together. Jacob was terrified. But during this fearful night, Jacob noticed that it wasn't an ordinary man with whom he fought. And that was so too, because it was the Lord, who in the likeness of a man was wrestling with him. Jacob defended himself despairingly, and he was the victor. No doubt you will ask, how is that possible? Surely God is much stronger than Jacob, isn't he? Naturally, but the Lord permitted Jacob to win. Finally, it is beginning to get light. The morning is breaking. Let me go, the Lord said. Let me go because it is getting light. No, Jacob answered. I will not let thee go until thou first bless me. Jacob could not do without the blessing of the Lord. Then the Lord blessed Jacob. Yet God would let Jacob know that he, not Jacob, was the strongest. and that he gave Jacob the victory. God touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh, and immediately it was out of joint, so that from now on Jacob would be crippled for the rest of his life. Jacob would never forget that night. The Lord also gave him a new name. From now on, his name was to be Israel, not Jacob. For that reason, the descendants of Jacob were also to be called Israelites. After that, Jacob went over the brook Jabbok to meet his wives and children. They looked at him in surprise because he walked with a limp. Jacob was no longer full of fear, but a wonderful calm filled his soul. Already they see Esau coming in the distance. Jacob walks past his flocks and calmly goes to meet Esau. Now then, Esau, Jacob is before you. Kill him. No, the Lord took care that Esau did not kill his brother. Instead, Esau walked toward his brother and kissed him, for Esau was no longer angry with Jacob. O Jacob, if you had to keep yourself, then you certainly would have been slain. But the Lord protected you, Jacob, and therefore Esau could not harm you. Jacob was greatly privileged, wasn't he? Is it also your desire to be protected by the Lord? Then you must do the same as Jacob and ask for the Lord's protection. Afterwards, Esau asked, "To whom do these women and children belong?" "They are my wives and children, and those are my cattle," Jacob answered. "The Lord gave me everything." He beckoned to Leah and to her children to come and bow themselves before Esau. He beckoned to Rachel and her son, which God had given her and whose name was Joseph. Rachel and her son also bowed down before Esau. "On the way I met sheep, goats, camels, and other cattle," Esau said. "What does this mean? For whom are all these flocks?" "They are a present for you," Jacob answered. "Oh, no," Esau protested. "I have enough, my brother. Keep what thou hast unto thyself." "Ah, will you please take this from me, Esau, because the Lord has blessed me so richly?" Jacob requested. Esau took it. And then he wanted to remain with Jacob to protect him. But Jacob would rather not have him do it, because it would then be necessary for him to hurry, and he could not do that with all his flocks and his family. Esau returned the same day with his men, and Jacob went further by himself. Finally, he came to Jordan. He went over this river and encamped close to the city of Shechem, where he built an altar to thank God for protecting him. The Lord took care of Jacob faithfully. Jacob lived for a long time near Shechem. Afterwards, he removed to Bethel, the place where he had dreamed that nice dream. He again built an altar there, and offered unto the Lord thank offerings. By renewal, the Lord appeared unto Jacob, and promised him that he would make of him a great nation, and that his children would receive this land for their habitation. But Jacob did not remain there either. He traveled towards the south to Hebron, the place where his father Isaac lived. Rachel, his wife, whom he loved so much, died on the way, so Jacob buried her there. At last he came to Isaac. How glad they were to see each other again! It had been more than 20 years that Jacob had been away, and now he has returned. But His mother, Rebekah, was no more. She had died in the meantime, and Isaac had buried her in the cave of Machpelah. Isaac and Jacob had a great deal to tell each other, don't you think so, children? For several years they lived together, and then the time came for Isaac to die. He was 180 years old. Jacob buried him in the cave of Machpelah, where his mother Rebekah and also Abraham and Sarah lay. They will remain lying there together in one grave until the Lord Jesus shall come upon the clouds of heaven. Then they will arise.